build it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. At the end of the show, we've got some breaking news out of the golf world with some defections to LIV Golf. In my mind, what do you think? Probably the biggest name so far, or at least the biggest current name, if you want to count, you know, Brooks and DJ and maybe Bryson as last week's news. Then this guy, I mean, he's a current major champion. That's a pretty good get for LIV Golf. So we'll talk about that. And I mean, when is, let's get it fired up because there's enough animosity. Did you see what Rory said?
No.
Seeing those guys, seeing 18 of the players from LIV at the European Tour event at Wentworth, it's going to make him sick to his stomach. I mean, we got some animosity fired up, so let's get a competition going. Nobody cares about the President's Cup anyway. Did you even know the President's Cup's coming up? Do you even know who's on the team? Nobody cares.
Kind of, no.
Let's change it around, flip it on its head, and let's make that PGA Tour versus LIV right now while everybody's mad at each other. So we'll talk about that. It is game week in college football. I got two topics today. One, which conference has the most to gain or lose? It doesn't have to be the same one to gain, the same one to lose, if that makes sense. And then also, what player or players are you the most curious about seeing? One in the Big 12 and then two across the country that you think might have an impact, good or bad. But who are you excited about seeing? Maybe for, and a lot of these guys kind of for the first time, or maybe, you know, if you think somebody's going to really improve and make a difference to their team, that can go there as well. What are the biggest games in the high school football ranks this week? I've got a couple written down of more local note. There's a bunch of big games in the largest classes. I got some others written down. A huge district game tonight for Elk City softball. I'll tell you about that. There's been a game time change for Friday night's Big Elks and Bridge Creek game. And, of course, it is a Tuesday, so that means it's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll tell you about Rodney Skinner and the gang down at Paul Jones Drug throughout the entirety of the show. So that's what we've got on our mind. Feel free, if you got something else or you want to chime in into those topics, to do so, 225-9698. It's the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. Radio stations, Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight at thepennynews.com. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Three games on Friday. The Big Elks on Big Elk TV. You've also got Merritt, and then we'll welcome Hollis to Paragon TV on Friday night. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out online at KADSAM.com or on iTunes. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am just wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Real well. Good night.
Let's see, the old, yeah, uneven night on the baseball field for the Elite.
Yeah.
Beat the Southwest Outlaws, but then Cheyenne put a little pop knot on the boys' heads last night. So, it's one of those things that happen.
That's baseball.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't.
It's kind of annoying sometimes, though.
Sometimes it's like, I was talking to a kid last night who played, not in your games, different games. I asked him, how'd you do? So, we got two wins. I said, well, how'd you do? Not very well. He said, but man, last week we lost two and I hit the ball really well. I said, dude, that's baseball. That's just how it is sometimes. So, is what it is.
Yeah, the Trojans did get two wins last night. Anyhow, so it was nice. I can tell you that.
The weather was gorgeous. I'm telling you.
I saw some hoodies. Yeah, I guess you're going to get your tail kicked. At least it's nice while you're getting it kicked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not out there sweating.
Right. But yeah, I'll take that weather anytime. That's why they call it fall ball.
That's right. It was gorgeous. Speaking of fall, game time change for Friday night, Big Elks and Bridge Creek. It was originally scheduled for 7 o'clock. That will now be a 7:30 kickoff. So the game is going to be pushed back 30 minutes. I believe it's Bridge Creek's homecoming is the reasoning for this. And so from 7 o'clock to 7:30, the Big Elks now scheduled to kick off at 7:30 on Friday night in Bridge Creek. So that's
so you're telling me.
A little PSA.
You're telling me the Big Elks are the homecoming opponent.
You know, listen, Jared, some
someone
schools,
has to be.
I know you Clinton guys always
no,
have.
That's not where I'm
yes,
going.
It is. You always have this chip on your shoulder because we're Clinton. We shouldn't be anybody's homecoming.
It's been 20 years.
I know, but here's the deal. A lot of places just do it the first home game of the year, and that's what this happens to be for Bridge Creek. It's the very first home game. And, oh, by the way, you know what it's sandwiched with? Labor Day weekend. A perfect time for people to come home.
Okay.
Because of the holiday. So
okay.
Let's not try to jump out
I'm just
there.
Trying to inject some motivation here.
I don't. Okay. The children should be at school, not listening to us.
There's a thing called a podcast. You mention it at every opener of the show.
Turns out children listen to it at one point in life.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay, kids. Get mad because you're homecoming from Bridge Creek, I guess.
You're supposed to be the layup game because you're the homecoming opponent.
Be honest with you, I think they'd rather had it the 16th, but the problem is they were at Western Heights instead of Western Heights coming to Bridge Creek, just looking at the schedule.
Shot fired across the bow.
Well, you know what? You can do that when they're not in the district, right?
I guess,
see you bye.
I guess so.
So 7:30 instead of 7 o'clock for the Elks and Bridge Creek. Tonight, 5 o'clock, huge district matchup between the Elk City Elkettes and the Cash Lady Bulldogs. On the softball diamond. Huge because when you look at the standings, there is a three-way tie for first in the loss column anyhow. Tuttle's at 5-1, Elk City's at 4-1, Weatherford at 3-1. Then Cash and Woodward now with two losses after last night. I know the Elkettes knocked off Woodward 11-0 last night, so that gave Woodward their second loss. Cash, on the other hand, they fell to Tuttle 3-2. So, man, you're seeing a whole bunch of these games between the top three or four in the district have all been extremely close throughout all of them.
Yeah.
And so, you've got Cash and Elk City tonight, 5 o'clock out here at the Fiveplex at the softball field. Be a nice feather underneath the Elkettes cap to stay. You know, you look at the teams they're tied with currently. They would hold the tiebreaker over Tuttle because of the head-to-head win. They would lose that one to Weatherford. Of course, those teams all play each other again. But then with Cash looming at 2-2, be nice to get another game of separation between yourselves and the Lady Bulldogs. And another thing that's happened, it seems like almost across the district, is protecting home field.
Absolutely. That's been a thing. You can't let one slip by, so... Yeah, that's a big one. Big one. Do you get any details how they did last night other than 11-0? I walked in, it was already 11-0. Thought, well, I'm not going to get anything just sitting here and watching this.
I kind of
they struck early and often.
I perused across the game changer box score.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. They scored 5 runs in the first, 5 in the second. It was 10-0 before anybody could even sit down. Just looking down through the stats, Ella Satilli 3-for-4. She scored 3 times. Aubrey Pogue not only continues to pitch really well, but she's been really good at the plate as well. She was 3-for-3. BB, Brianna Butler, was 3-for-3 with 3 RBI. Jada Kimball knocked in a couple. Emily Lawrence hit a home run and 3 RBI. So right there, kind of through the meat of the order, the girls at the top got on base, and then, you know, from four down through six or seven, knocked them in. Let's see who, Olivia Gino got a hit. Jill Metter was one for two. She knocked in a run. So up and down the lineup again this week for the or this game for the Yelkettes. On the hill, Aubrey pitched all five innings, gave up two hits, no runs, walked two, struck out three. So that's kind of the way that game went last night.
Sound pretty pretty efficient right there, up and down.
Also tonight, Jared.
What do you got?
We've got junior, or I guess it's middle school football, not junior high anymore, middle school football. On the road for the season opener at El Reno, it'll be the 7th grade Elks at 5:30, and the 8th graders will play at 7. Which, those teams ought to be familiar with each other because they just scrimmaged about a week and a half ago.
That's right.
So they ought to know what each other has got, and we'll see how the junior Elks is what we used to call them. It's kind of hard to call them the middle Elks, right? That's kind of weird. I'm going to stick with junior Elks.
Isn't there a word for a young elk?
Oh, I'm sure there is. Spike. The spikes. That's deer, though.
I'm sure there's some. We got to get Lieutenant James Edwards in here and ask him what's the proper terminology for a young elk. A bull? No. There has to be something. It's not a fawn.
That's a calves. Wow. Elk babies are called calves.
We're not calling them calves. We can't call them calves.
Let's see. This is called the life cycle of elks. What I just clicked on.
What?
Elk calves, immature elk. Maybe immature elk. That seems like a negative connotation as well, doesn't it?
Their parents might go, oh, that's right.
A yearling bull elk is called a spike.
There you go.
I'm sticking with junior elk.
Just stick with the junior elk.
The junior elks. It's been a name that's stood the test of time for all these years. Yeah. Even though it's not junior high, it's more, you know, middle school. But we'll go with junior elks.
I like it.
Uh-oh. I do not know.
What? Got a question?
Do you know what the older... Oh, I was afraid of that. The older female elks, you know what they're called?
I would say doe.
No.
Okay.
Well, think about if the young ones are calves, what are you afraid the elk, the older ones might be? I did know this if I'd have just sat here and thought about it. I've seen Meat Eater.
I don't know. Cows?
That was Jared Atha, Jared.Atha.
No, that's Jeremy Robbins from the text line. We have a correct answer on the text line. You don't win a prize.
That's actually true.
But you get credit for it.
Speaking of that, have you ever seen Meat Eater, the show Meat Eater?
No.
No? Oh, man.
Is this a Food Network
show? No, it's Steve Ranella. He's Netflix has it. The Outdoor Channel has it. He's a hunter. It is so awesome. But then he gives you a bunch of different recipes.
Okay.
It's very cool. It's okay. A very, very cool show. I mean, this guy, he doesn't just sit in his pickup truck above a wheat field with a 12-pack of cold beer and wait on a deer to come frolicking by to eat the corn that's been sitting out there for 3 months just to get, you know, killed. This guy actually hunts. I mean, the real deal. It's cool. It's a very cool show. You ought to check it out.
I need to. Sounds good.
Anyhow.
Sounds good.
So we've gone through the entire process of the life of an elk. Biggest games in high school football this week. I mentioned Clinton earlier. They do have a big one, and according to the Oklahoman, if you look at their list, the number 5 game of the week is the Clinton Red Tornadoes at the Bishop McGinnis Fighting Irish.
That'll be a tough one.
McGinnis coming off a 52-17 win over Class 6A 2, number 7, Putnam City. Clinton beat Kingfisher 21-6. Looks like Mike Taffy, just reading the little blurb here, Mike Taffy, the running back from McGinnis, is going to have to be a guy that Clinton's able to contain. But I think
they're getting McGinnis as one of the right now favorites in 5A from stuff I've seen. What are they, two or three? Two?
Number four here.
Number four,
but I think these were all last week's rankings.
Yeah, AP had them, I think, pretty high. That's going to be a tough, tough out for Clinton. Tough one.
Yeah, we mentioned this all throughout the offseason, leading into with the non-district schedules of the two favorites in 4A1, which is Elk City and Clinton. Don't be surprised if they've each got a loss or maybe two. When those two meet in the second district week.
Yeah.
You know, Clinton playing this game and then Heritage Hall next. The Elks, see what happens on Friday night at Bridge Creek, but then you're talking about Canadian Texas coming to town. You know what? I think I told you Seminole that we saw out here. I think that was Seminole, Oklahoma. You know why? They played Canadian.
So they're on the
So what a
there.
Perfect spot to stop, yeah.
Okay. I looked up where Seminole, Texas was.
I thought, did too, and I'm like, how did that get there?
Doesn't make a lot of sense for them.
One of them had a shirt.
They're going
with
to Kansas or something.
He had the state of Texas, I think, but it wasn't the same shirt as everybody else had.
Just a random shirt.
Yeah, just a random shirt, because I was like, I know there's a Seminole, Texas. I never saw anything that said Chieftains on their stuff. It all just said Seminole football, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to guess it was the Oklahoma team because they were headed to – they got beat down in Canadian.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Yeah.
I looked up Seminole, Texas, and they, too, had some kind of a spear-like mascot. I have to look it up.
What color were they?
They were kind of green.
Were they green and white?
Yeah, so
– Well,
it got
hold the phone.
I was like, wait. And I thought, well, maybe they just took a cross-country trip to Kansas or something and stopped here. Maybe they're playing, like, Garden City or something.
Well, hold the phone. Maybe
I
could, it was.
But I looked up the schedule – and they were playing a team that was like 30 miles away from
them. Yeah, it's not
so
them.
I was like,
it
well,
was
that
the
can't
Chieftains.
Be them. Yeah.
It had to be the Chieftains for where they were going.
Yeah.
I noticed that yesterday trying to do some early look ahead to what's going on with Canadian. And, they beat down Seminole. Anyhow, so Clinton McGinnis, also one of note within the class of 4A, Coweta. How about their non-district schedule to start? Carl Albert, then Wagner.
Yeah.
Coweta was able to knock off Carl Albert 44-14. We mentioned the DeQuasi injury in the first half of the broken collarbone for Carl Albert. You know, it's hard to tell how much the difference that makes, but you'd think he would make a pretty big one for Carl Albert.
Yeah.
Without their quarterback. So that's one to kind of
look ahead to. But it begs
the
question, I mean, is he that much of a difference? You know what I mean? Or is Coweta really that good? You know, if he was in there, would have been closer. I mean, that's a lot of points. I mean, he's one guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 11 guys on the field. So
that game was also pretty close until the – I mean, it kind of got – the score isn't indicative of how close that game was. It was like a 9-point or 11-point game with right at the end of the third quarter. Then all of a sudden it kind of went and the spread got huge.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think this will kind of tell you a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, if Coweta goes and takes care of Wagner – and, yeah, that tells a lot. Now, who does Carl Albert have this week, just out of curiosity?
Midwest City.
A little crosstown rival there.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, said it yesterday, we love the scheduling, but you want them at their best. We certainly hope this doesn't mean this is the end of Carl Albert's season because of that one guy. You know, we don't want to go face them and then, you know, there's always that built-in – there will already be that built-in excuse of, well, it's a close game because, you know, you want the best of the best to see how you stack up. But anyway,
I'm sure they've still got more athletes.
That's
it's just
what I'm
a matter
getting at.
Of getting...
That's why I kind of want to give Coweta maybe a little bit more credit because that's a big score. I'm like, you know, it's not just – Carl Auburn's never been known for just one guy on the field that's carried them all those state titles.
Yeah, I think it's just – and it also you're like, oh, I mean the emotion of it for your senior quarterback knowing his season could be over, or at least a majority of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty big emotional hit in game one with all the, you know, the build up to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give Carl Albert the benefit of the doubt till they don't deserve it. But it will be interesting to see about Coweta. Another game between a team that everybody had way high and they look pretty bad, at least score wise, in game one is Class A. Number one, Cashin. They were blown out by Rejoice Christian. I think 49-13 ended up being the final. Now they take on Pawhuska, who's become a little bit of a juggernaut at times in 2A with the offense. So we'll see. You know, this is it's interesting because both of those teams in Cashin and Carl Albert with chances to bounce back after week zero losses to teams and scores, I think, were more surprising than the loss with the way that they lost and the amount by which they lost. We'll see if that was just kind of a blip or if Class A is a little bit more wide open with maybe Cashin having some chinks in the armor.
Yeah, I like to see that, what happens there. Another one I'm going to keep my eye on is Weatherford and Kingfisher.
Yeah.
You know, it was Weatherford going to bounce back from that season last year. Kingfisher hung tough for a little bit with Clinton before Clinton pulled away. I'm sure they want to, you know, and so is Kingfisher. They've been kind of down the last couple of years. Like, they'd probably like to see themselves get back up. So two big opportunities for some teams with some tradition right there.
Yeah, and then another one that you wonder about, I had this on my a question to me on Messenger, is Sayre that good or is Cordell that bad?
I don't know.
Sayre gets Walters this week. Cordell and Merritt will play. I know, you know, Merritt had the tough opening season loss to Hinton, but obviously Hinton is a top 10 team coming into the year in Class A, and they did nothing to dispel any of that love. Whereas you look at Walters and Sayre, Walters knocked off Kahnawa. Who knows? We don't know. But anyhow, I guess that is actually next week. They get the week off, not playing, and then Walters comes to Sayre the 9th. So, but Cordell and Merritt this week, maybe get a little bit of a glimpse into that score from last Friday night between the Eagles and the Blue Devils. Haven't seen any rankings yet.
Not updated ones.
I haven't seen any updated rankings yet, so hopefully we'll have
that. Trying to remember when those come out. I actually think it's Tuesday at some point.
Okay.
Tuesdays. At least the AP, which is what I lean on. But we'll see.
All right.
I don't think there'll be much of a shakeup. Maybe Carl Albert taking a dive
just
a little
couple,
bit.
Yeah.
And as far as 4A, I don't see a lot of shakeup there. I mean, who knows? Obviously, you might get one or two spots up, but not everybody played, so you
That's
can't
right.
really move them around.
Yeah, or you just move the ones that did play and then see what happens this week. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It is Tuesday. That means it's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner and the gang of Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street right here in Elk City. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in the town of Elk City. That means they have the most experience. They've got free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing, and also curbside vaccinations, and something called blister packs. That's long-term care unit packaging. It's Paul Jones Drug. We'll continue to tell you all about Rodney and the gang. Give them a call at 580-225-2121 or visit Paul Jones Drug at 809 North Main Street right here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. All right, Jared. College football, I mean, heck, it starts in 2 days right here in the state of Oklahoma with Oklahoma State hosting Central Michigan. A lot of talk around that, surrounding that matchup because of what happened the last time those two teams met and that crazy finish that the officials got wrong. But Central Michigan took advantage of and just a wild play there at the end to win. When you look ahead at the slate of games this week, which conference do you think has the most to gain?
Most to gain, I would lean Pac-12 because of Oregon playing Georgia and Utah playing Florida, both of them outside of Pac-12 country. So that would be huge if they could both somehow get a win. I only see one of them getting a win, but who knows? That's why you play the game, and sometimes we all get shocked when we think we know what's going to happen, and then turns out, you know, maybe they were a little better than what we thought. So, but as far as the perception of the conference and moving forward, and you know, we've said it over and over, how many times have we started week one, and then or then after week one, Pac-12's already done as far as playoff conversation's concerned. So they got the most to gain if they can get a couple wins. Now, if they get one win, doesn't mean they're out of the conversation. Utah's a player here this year. But if they can get two wins, then maybe our opinion of the Pac-12 changes a little bit. So that for me, that's my answer, Pac-12.
Yeah, and it seems like that should be the answer every single year.
Feels like it.
Because of what's happened in the past. I mean, Oregon blew that game against Auburn, what, 3 years ago maybe, right before the COVID season in 2019 with Herbert against Bo Nix. Looking back upon that, now Bo Nix is up there. Anyway.
Not funny.
But I think it has to be them because of how high profile those, especially Oregon, Georgia, because Georgia is the defending national champion. And what a feather in your cap that would be. You know, like you said, Utah going to Florida, that would normally even be more high stakes. Florida been down just a little bit. We'll see what Billy Napier can do in his first year at the helm there in Gainesville. So I agree with you. Another one that I think can benefit is the ACC. Just because they've got a couple of games that if you want to be the conference that's not just Clemson, Pitt needs to be what beat West Virginia in the backyard brawl on Thursday. North Carolina State cannot lay an egg at ECU, at East Carolina. How many times? It seems like Virginia Tech loses to East Carolina about every other year. And, it you know, and you, those are games that you look back going, well, this is why it's Clemson and the Rum-Dums, because they're just not a lot of quality throughout. So I think the ACC, you can't have Clemson slugging around and look bad against Georgia Tech on Monday night when everybody's watching. So that's I don't think there's any doubt the Pac-12 is the answer to start. But maybe what I'm trying to convince myself of is the ACC has the most to lose.
Did you mention Florida State, LSU?
No. Where's I didn't that? See that because they're not ranked. They're not on this list I'm looking at. Yeah, there's another one. And so, you know, if one of those teams, if Pitt can't beat West Virginia, so maybe I'm headed to the most to lose here, it would be the ACC outside of Clemson. If North Carolina State trips up against East Carolina, there you go, Florida State looks bad against LSU, then all of a sudden that's going to be the immediate talk is, well, here we are. It's just like the ACC always has been. They'll have some chances, you know, Miami going to A&M maybe to right that ship. But at least for week one, I think you're right. Pac-12 has by far the most to gain because they can come out of the weekend actually having a legitimate conversation about making the playoff after week one, which they haven't been able to in the last couple of years. But I think in the weird way, the ACC is the team that has the most to lose because there's a couple of those games that you don't want to see if you're a fan of that conference and even, you know, Clemson or North Carolina State, the bigger boys coming into the year. You don't need to see those games go the wrong way.
Yeah. And without looking at just – I mentioned one team and inadvertently mentioned two, you know, with Georgia hosting Oregon, LSU hosting Florida State. There's some other big
Notre Dame, Ohio State. I mean,
well,
it's
SEC
those
teams, though. I'm going with SEC here. You know, there's always that perception that they're the biggest, baddest kid on the block. Well, what if they take a couple lumps? I mean, yeah, that's a conference that can recover, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, I agree with the ACC because we've been talking this summer about how, well, maybe it's not just Clemson. You got all these up-and-coming teams like NC State. Pitt was hot last year. Can Florida State get back? Miami seems to be recruiting well with the new coach. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. If those teams can't live up to what we're saying here, then yeah, it could just go back to the perception of, well, Clemson and everybody else, and it looks like Clemson's going to have a cakewalk to the playoff.
Exactly. Once again, 1240. I'm sure it got struck by lightning the other night. It's weather-related.
It is weather-related.
And it's a matter of being able to get stuff to fix it. Let's see. What about players? So is there – let's start in the Big 12. Who are a couple of guys that you're excited slash curious about seeing play this year?
In the Big 12?
In the Big 12.
I'm excited, and we'll start with OU because the depth chart came out. Ethan Downs is a starter. I'm excited to see what he looks like in year two, especially under the watchful eye of Brent Venables. Didn't Desmond Howard pick him as a player to watch on College Game Day?
I missed it. It sounds like, thank goodness I did.
It
was a disaster.
Yeah. Desmond Howard said a lot of crazy things, but that one I agreed with. Who's your player to watch? But local ties, obviously. He showed sparks of really good stuff. And I'm excited to see that next step. And now he's a starter right there on the defensive line. I'm excited to see Ethan Downs in the Big 12.
Yeah, for me, it's a no-brainer, number one. For me, it's Quinn Ewers. Because of what that means. If he's good. If he really – I mean, he was every bit the recruit of Arch Manning 2 years ago when he went up to Ohio State. I mean, he was leaps and bounds the number one player in the country. It's so much so that he reclassified and was still there toward the top. So can he – return Texas to more of what they were used to early on in this century with Vince Young stacked up with Colt McCoy at the quarterback spot versus the hodgepodge of what we've seen lately. And I'm not asking him to even be Colt McCoy. Just don't be David Ash. Mm-hmm. Just don't be Case McCoy. You know, be a little bit better than Sam Ehlinger. And so that to me it's really curious on is he the hype? Or is he the substance down there as the quarterback at Texas? You hear all this crazy stuff about, you know, it was Hudson Card really supposed to be the starter, but big money donors that are obviously paying Quinn Ewers money, is that just bull crap that it's easy to pin on Texas because everybody goes, well, of course that's what happens down there. You know what I mean? Or is it a situation where Sarkisian was trying to milk some sort of competition so that Card doesn't leave and they have a backup, a la right. What we saw out of Lincoln Riley a couple times, trying to keep Austin Kendall here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of backfired on him. You know, was yours clearly the better player? And it all kind of backfired on him by trying to create some sort of competition that wasn't there. It's fascinating to me because – he has at least the recruiting chops to be a guy that turns Texas around. I mean, all of a sudden, if they have a high-level quarterback to go with Bijan and Xavier Worthy, look the hell out.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
Some people believe it, and they've ranked him high. Some people are still wait and see. And people won't believe it.
I think you have to be a wait and see. That's why I can't wait to see.
Right, well, yeah.
They'll get something out of the first game against Monroe. And I'm sure the over-exaggeration week two, no matter what happens against Bama, if he looks horrible or if he looks really good, I mean, it's going to be overblown either way, but I can't wait to see him. Who else?
In the Big 12?
Yeah.
Are we using the adjective excited? We're just
excited,
interested,
curious,
interested,
anything.
Curious. Yeah. Because of what happened in Dublin, Ireland, I want to see Adrian Martinez at Kansas State. Was what happened in Dublin, Ireland, because the product with Casey Thompson in particular, the product of coaching, and is that what was going on with Martinez up in Nebraska? Now he's under a new coach, a new team, fresh new start for him. And if he looks good, that could look bad for Scott Frost. So I want to see what Adrian Martinez looks like.
Yeah, I mean, they're the chic pick to be kind of the underdog into the Big 12 title game. I think that makes a lot of sense. Another guy I want to see, and it's for the possibility of upsetting the apple cart within the Big 12 race, and that's JT Daniels at West Virginia. Started at USC, transferred to Georgia. Everybody thought he was going to be the quarterback a year ago. He gets hurt. Bennett takes over. It's over. Stetson Bennett has the job and leads him to the national championship. But when you look at West Virginia's schedule, they've got OU, they got K-State, and they got Baylor at home in Morgantown. So can JT Daniels be a guy that doesn't necessarily get West Virginia into a Big 12 title race, but is talented and good enough to upset the Big 12 title race by pulling off an upset against one of those three teams that are in most people's top five of the conference? And then obviously
he better be good, because this is, I mean, it'd save his boss's job.
Yeah, Neil Brown turned over the offense, recruited a different quarterback. Yeah, this is kind of a, I guess you would call it a, not a Hail Mary, but definitely something that makes his bosses go, you know what, he's trying something different. I guess you like that. Also, I mean, I think you'd have to be interested to see what Dylan Gabriel looks like at OU from the quarterback spot. We've seen him from at UCF working with Jeff Lebby in the past. It's obviously a step up in competition on a week-to-week basis into the Big 12. And then, you know, OSU-wise, I think it has to be how the defense can plug the holes lost by – I mean – everybody knew that Malcolm Rodriguez was going to be a big loss. Did you realize he was going to be a like week one starter in the NFL type loss? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that loss just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? As the pros start to figure out what a lot of OSU fans knew, and that guy can really play football. Mm-hmm. And then Spencer Sanders up there. I think he's as important a guy as there is in the entire country to where his team finishes. And not only the conference race, but also a chance to make the playoff. It's not necessarily, I think, how he goes, OSU goes, because I do think there's a possibility that he could play great and the defensive losses are too much to overcome in a game or two, where it looks a little bit more like old OSU versus last year OSU, mm-hmm. where they just get outscored a couple of times during the year and end up with two losses, and that takes you out of the playoff hunt. But I do think he is very, very important because of that. I think he needs to come out guns blazing and be able to say October 1st, go down to Baylor, and if you have to outscore him to win that game, be ready to go outscore him to win that game, especially when you look back at what happened a year ago in the two games he played against the Bears and the absolute turnover machine that he was.
Right.
What about around the country?
This might make a lot of people mad, but Caleb Williams.
Of course. You've got to be intrigued by what might happen out there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be.
How soon do defenses start to
rush 3, drop 8?
Exactly.
If I was right, I would do it from the first play.
Exactly. And basically, I want to see just individually, to take away uniforms, just individually. Does he get better? Does he learn from his freshman mistakes?
Yeah, because didn't it feel like he got figured out a little bit by the better defenses that he faced?
Yeah.
You know, he came in the Texas game. They had no idea what to expect from him. He did what he did, played pretty well. But then all of a sudden, you started seeing a little bit of problem, let's say in the first half of the Kansas game when you don't score a point. Then obviously down at Baylor, at Oklahoma State, he played probably his best game all year. Was up in Stillwater, gave OU all the chances in the world to win that game, and they didn't. So, yeah, I think he has to be on that list of intriguing curiousness. You know who – this is a guy that I think a lot of people have thought was going to be really good, and we look at him, he's got physical stature to be it. I'm going to go with KJ Jefferson, quarterback at Arkansas. Can he kind of harness everything? And make a difference, you know, whether it be an upset of A&M, maybe not even an upset, a win over A&M down in Jerry World, believe Alabama comes to Arkansas this year. You know, can he be a guy that can really affect play in a couple of games? So I'm gonna go with KJ Jefferson, the quarterback at Arkansas.
Nobody from Big Blue for you?
I mean, I know they're gonna be good. So here's the problem. You know what I saw last night? They've got their dadgum all SEC running back suspended for a DUI over the summer. I clearly didn't do enough research on that. Which, game one against Miami of Ohio, whatever. Game two, they're in the swamp. Probably need Rodriguez back in the lineup if you're going to win that game. Kentucky has been putrid against Florida for all these years. I think they just finally beat them for the first time in like 31 years or something a year ago or 2 years ago. So, you know, no, Will Levis right there in the Heisman race by the time this is all said and done. Who you got?
Another person to watch for.
Yeah.
Another person to look out for that I'm interested in. I'm racking my brain. Well, I mean, I don't know. Bryce Young. Right. A lot of expectations,
yeah.
Obviously. And we've seen it more often than not. Kids fold over underneath those expectations or not perform up to it. Maybe not perform bad, but not, you know, like, oh, well, he wasn't like he was last year. So, you know, you're not going to see that in the first game, but, you know, as the schedule moves on, we'll see. So, yeah, he's a guy I'll kind of – and he's going to have everybody's interest. So it's kind of an easy answer because
yeah.
He's going to have everybody's interest every time he takes a snap.
It's not a ton of times you actually get to see the Heisman winner back on the field the next year.
We've seen it more often than not,
yeah.
but you're right.
I've got DJ or Cade Klubnik. Whichever one is actually going to play quarterback.
Sound like a Lincoln Riley depth chart.
For the Clemson Tigers. I still don't have any idea what in the world happened to DJ Uiagalelei last year. After what we saw from him in that spot start for Trevor Lawrence in South Bend, Indiana. It didn't even look like the same dude. And maybe game one, having to face that vaunted Georgia defense, just completely crushed his confidence for the rest of the year. I mean, he barely averaged over 200 yards a game through the air. He's going to have to do better than that, or he's not going to be the quarterback with Klubnik coming in. So whichever one of those it is, I think that's really intriguing because Clemson probably can't get there without one of those two guys getting back up toward the level of where the Clemson quarterback play was with Deshaun Watson and also Trevor Lawrence. On the text line, we got Trace Ford coming off the injury up in Stillwater. That's a good one. Because, man, if you can start pairing Ford and Brock Martin and Colin Oliver in some sort of package all together, rushing the passer, it makes the worries about filling in, you know, replacing linebackers and safeties, corners a little bit less. If you can be back there harassing the passer the way that OSU did last year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Could be a difference maker for this season. You'd take a lot of pressure off of Sanders for sure.
All right, I can't wait. Golly, when we come here tomorrow, we'll be like a day away.
That is nuts.
Do we really count what Nebraska did as the season starting?
If they had won, no. I mean, because everyone expected it and –
So it's almost
but it just, I mean, it's fun. It's fun that happened and gave us something to talk about. It's like getting a really good crab cake before a really good steak. Like, you know, hey, that appetizer was really good. Now bring on the entree here, the main course. Let's go. I'm ready.
Hey, Paul
Jones. And now we get some more appetizers on Thursday.
Yeah.
For OSU fan, it's the main course. But
better games, too.
It's Saturday, yeah. Yeah.
You would think Pitt, West Virginia, OSU's, I mean, those are going to be better games.
Yeah.
Better teams playing
sure.
in those games.
Sure.
It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Our man Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug. They have convenience packaging. So you can do away with the gigantic plastic pill holder that has the name of the week or the day of the week on the front of it, and you got to figure out which ones to put where. Make sure you take the right dosages. No. Throw that thing in the trash. because at Paul Jones Drug, they have convenience packaging. They will individually package your daily meds for you. So just open it up, take your pills, and move on down life's path. Also, durable medical equipment. Most insurances are accepted. That's 809 North Main Street, Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust. Right here in Elk City, 580-225-2121. When we come back, Live Golf defections. Also, still time to sign up to play the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Tell you how to do that next, right here on the Skinny on Sports. 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. I was trying to avoid this topic, Jared, but now I'm afraid we're going to have to talk about it. Skinny on Sports.
I'm sorry.
Right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. By the way, still time. You still have until Saturday morning to sign up and play the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. It's on ESPN's website. We have a post on our Facebook page, The Skinny on Sports, as well, with a link to our group. The group is The Skinny on Sports. The group message is people before property, just like at Western Oklahoma Realty. We're about halfway to our goal. Let's go. Let's get signed up.
Still time.
Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. We'll pick 10 games each week against the spread. Well, it'll tell you which 10 to pick. Have you already made your picks?
Yeah, I might need to. I mean, I did real quick, boom, shoot from the hip, which I've had a lot of success with, but I might second-guess myself.
Get signed up. It's free to play. We'll have a prize at the end, too. I promise you we'll have a prize. Western Oklahoma Realty College, pick 'em. All right, so you mentioned in the break, off-air, the USC hype video.
Getting some buzz.
Getting some buzz around here, most notably because it features three guys prominently that don't have a dang thing to do with playing football at USC. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and then also Jalen Hurts. I know OU fans are up in arms, or not even up in arms really, more just think it's embarrassing that USC would use those guys to promote USC football, considering they didn't play there. I mean, what else are they supposed to use? They're trying to make the connection with Riley from the past to the present with quarterback play. You know, you can have Carson Palmer, you can have Matt Leinart, but then it gets pretty slim. I mean, you're going to fire Butt Fumble in there? No.
Can they put Reggie.
Ooh, I don't know if they can use him yet.
So that's what. There's still some restrictions there.
That's a good question. I'm gonna guess no, since they didn't.
They can't use one famous alumni.
Yeah, OJ.
Infamous alumni.
I mean, I guess they could, but he probably wouldn't want to.
No. Show them clips of him slashing through the field. No, can't use that.
You think, you know, when you see the new Lincoln Riley where he puts up the two fingers, I mean, obviously it's for the V. Are we sure that's not for Ron and Nicole? Two of them?
That's Aaron Skinny Cow.
I mean, I'm just asking. I don't see why anybody's up in arms, because that's what you're promoting the past to the present. Lincoln Riley's going to be the guy to resurrect the glory days. And then, so what has he done? He hasn't done anything at USC yet. So, with his accomplishments, obviously it comes from Oklahoma.
For the sake of argument, how would you feel if OU put out a hype video using a bunch of defensive highlights from Clemson?
Fire it up. But see, that's the thing, though. Do they ever actually show those guys in an OU uniform?
I can't recall. I got sick to my stomach watching just a little bit of it.
I mean, they show him getting drafted number one. They show him picking up the Heisman. I mean, everybody knows where they played in college. But do they ever actually show a highlight with them playing for the University of Oklahoma?
I would have to go back and watch.
That's what I mean. If you want,
I mean, that's dangerous ground. That's like promoting OU.
I mean, you can
in
say
no
that.
In no context, people watch and go, oh, this is an OU thing.
Well, they might. But what else are they going to show?
Man, there hasn't been a lot of highlights.
No.
At USC.
And then if all you're showing is Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer, then what's the first thing everybody's going to go, hell yeah, 20 years ago, that's all you got? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, I guess you can fire Sam Darnold clips out there.
Yeah, I mean, OU still kind of does that. A lot of tradition-rich schools do that. I'm sure Alabama has some hype video with the Bear and old-timey video.
Yes,
there's nothing wrong with.
But none of those
going
are. But none of those are trying to be the new flashy, cool school, the way that USC is trying to be.
What about this? What about finding some highlights of some guys who were there at USC who are still on the team? You're just kind of pump them up too. Go, hey, you guys were good for us last year, and
nobody's going to believe that, Jared. They won three games.
I know that, but you got to find a way. Well, how do those guys feel? God, we're going out off campus to find something for a highlight video. We're right here.
Or, you know what you could do? If you're going to use OU players, use the one you stole and show some practice film.
Yeah, practice film, yes.
Use some Caleb Williams, Mario Williams, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
If that's what you want to, if that's the connection. But still, even then, though, you're going to trump up the accomplishments of your new Wonder Boy. Because, let's be honest, he probably has a little bit of a say in what goes on. And so what's he going to do? Well, he's going to promote himself. That's essentially what he's best at.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he's going to promote himself. Here's what I did. Even though he didn't throw a pass, he didn't call the play. He didn't hand it off to anybody. He didn't actually do anything on the field. But that's what he's going to do. And it all feeds back into trying to create a certain product and the idea that your product is the way that he was able to create the idea, and that is that he's the quarterback whisperer. And that's where those things play into that.
Mm-hmm.
Two straight Heisman Trophy winners, two straight number one overall picks, turned a guy that didn't look like he could throw an out route at Alabama into a starting NFL quarterback. So, of course, if you that makes sense. It's just the problem is the vitriol from here is so high against all things Lincoln Riley and by happenstance there at USC that none of that's going to go unnoticed for a while. None of it. And it's just going to make people either giggle at him, make them mad, whatever it is. There's going to be comments made from this side of the Rocky Mountains, no matter what happens.
Twitter might break the first game they lose. On this side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of OU fans, when that happens, you'll hear more talk about that than, oh, yeah, we had a game too. How'd we do?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's always going to happen.
I do.
It's probably going to be like this. Oh, okay. Oh, you're just playing. All right. How's USC doing? There's always going to be that eye. How's USC doing?
And does that mean that OU fans turn in to what they always say they don't want to be?
What's that?
What they always accuse another fan base of being. More worried about another team losing than their team winning. How many times have you heard an OU fan get on to OSU fans about, well, you'd rather see OU lose than your team win? Tread lightly, Sooner fan.
That's true.
Tread lightly.
That's true.
The hypocrisy, I can feel it. I can smell it. for a guy that you don't want to be associated with anyway, if you just listen to yourselves.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yep.
I got no problem with video. Because they just don't have anything else to show.
Which should make you laugh.
Yeah, instead of...
He has zero highlights to use of your own. You're using another's, or not highlights, but players.
Why do you think that he was raiding other teams' rosters? Because he needed good players. Everybody have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.